Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. Give it up right now for our worldwide podcast and media family listening. All right. Somebody bring me a tissue. Thank you, Cassie, for my flower or my pitcher. All right. I've entitled this, it's a message, So Much More. Those of you who've been around for a few months have heard me say this. I always start seeking God. Usually, I seek God all the time, but somewhere in August, I usually go on a fast and I start praying into the next year and what it's gonna be and the word for it for the year. And a lot of the prophets are saying the same thing. Those of us who key in, I just want you to know that this is not like witchcraft numerology, but numbers are important to God. Because he wrote a whole book called Numbers. And numbers are very important to God. And so we have already stepped into the top of the Hebrew calendar year. So we're in a brand new year. It's New Year's. And we are going to be entering into the new year in January of the Gregorian calendar, which we are on. And so the Lord began to speak to me in August about 2024 being the year of so much more. There's so much more. And he wants to build hope in you. And it may feel like you're coming out of this year with so much less. There's been some things that have been pruned off your life. There's been some things you had to let go of. But the Lord says there's so much more coming in 24. So be encouraged in that. I'm going to break down each one of the numbers. The number of year we are in is 5784. So A, this is the Hebrew year 5784 and the Gregorian year of 2024. And God says it's the year of the open door and so much more. A1, according to ancient Hebrew, the modern Hebrew name for the letter 4 is delet and means door. The word delet is a derivative of the parent root dal, also meaning door. It also means entry, path, to draw out or in. So I want to stop right there. Sometimes when God opens a door, it's not to let you in. Is to get you out. Somebody say amen in the house of God. God is going to let you out of some things. Amen? He's bringing you out of some things. He's also bringing you into some things. Pay attention to what God is doing and what he's getting you out of. I say don't stand at doors and cry when God is moving you out. You may feel sad, and in fact, process that. There's sometimes some grieving that happens when God moves you out of something. That's hitting deep. Feel it. Don't try to shrug that off. Feel it. Move through it. I always say emotion is a feeling in motion. But don't, the Lord's saying, don't stand there and look back and reach back. Because whatever he brings you out of, it's for your good. And he never brings you out without bringing you in to something else, okay? So it means to draw out or in. It's dominion, authority, control, or bow. It also represents the four compass points, north, east, south, and west of the world. It's worldwide. Now, this is a word for the house. It may not be for you specifically, but as family members, we need to get excited. Because at the foot of my bed, over 20 years ago, the Lord gave me a specific word. He actually gave me seven. And they were specific to me at the time, directive. You're going here, it's going to be for a season, you're going to bring light to this individual, you're going to start writing messages. I had never preached a message. I had shared my testimony, but the Lord said, you're going to start preaching messages, and this year, by the end of this year, you will preach your first message. And don't you ever put a business card in anybody's hand, do not make a phone call, do not ask anybody for their platform. I will open the door for you, and it will come by the end of this year. So when God gives you a word, you need to start to write the message. You don't wait until it happens. And consequently, at the end of the year, I had three messages that, boy, I had just worked on them. And I was in the middle of a remodel, and you know, I'm the kind of person that likes everything tidy and neat. And the first message God gave me was on the peace of God. And boy, did I have to learn to walk in the peace of God in the middle of all that. I was having a prayer meeting in the home, and this is where Soul Harvest was originally birthed, was in that home, in that garage, during a season of chaos. I'm picking up Cheerios, I'm wiping rear ends, I am in the middle of, I'm just, you know, this girl who loved my family, and I have this big assignment on my life, and God, he just tells me, go kneel down at the foot of your bed, and I'm going to tell you something, and this is going to direct your whole life. By the end of the year, a pastor that I had shared my testimony in his church, and I had just been invited there to do worship, calls me up, and the name of his church is called Destiny. And he goes, Vernon Brown? I said, he's on my recorder. God told me you're a preacher and that I'm supposed to invite you to my church to preach. There was my invitation. Never put a business card in nobody's hand. Never asked for nothing. Well, I showed up, but the next thing that God said was, he mentioned the name Benny Hinn, and I thought that was odd, but the Lord said, what I want you to do is I want you to pay attention to the reverence of my Holy Spirit. Don't study the man, study the atmosphere. Study what happens there and the presence of God. And that baton from Catherine Kuhlman and all of that, just that's what I want you to pay attention to. Because you grew up in religion and rituals and routines, and I was introduced to the presence of the Lord in camp meetings and tent meetings and things like that out there in the middle of nowhere where people didn't have all the fancy stuff. They didn't have smog machines and skinny jeans. They didn't have blue lights. They didn't have nothing but the prayer of the saints. Amen. And the Spirit of God, the presence of God would come so thick sometimes you'd just be stuck in the glory. You couldn't move. And the Lord said, I'm bringing you back to my presence. In fact, you're going to be known as a woman who carries my presence. And he said, you do that. For the next year, I want you to shut yourself in, and I want you to spend time in my presence, and I want you to do nothing but just worship me and get to know me. I started having these encounters with God in the garage, and there was no plan to start a church. But the Lord told me, he said, your ministry will be worldwide, 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 worldwide. It was like that, just five times. I wrote it down each time, five times. Five is the number of grace. When God says something five times, what he's saying is, don't depend on yourself for this. It will be an act of my grace. You got to believe God. I'm sitting there in a room with laundry piled upon the bed, you know, dirty laundry and everything else, a house, and we're living in, and we were cooking out of the bathroom because my house is destroyed. I've got tarp everywhere, and I'm down at the foot of the bed, and God's giving me my assignment for the rest of my life. So, I'm just telling you that I believe that God is going to do something in and through Soul Harvest because of the word he gave to me that's going to blow this place open to the rest of the world this year. You can clap for that. It's going to be his doing. It's going to be an act of grace. And not only that, you guys need to get ready for expansion because as people of this house, you will be called upon for more. And when God says he's going to require more, he's going to give you more, with more comes more responsibility. And you need the grace to be able to handle it. Amen? So B, five in the year 5784 means grace. Grace is not only God's unmerited favor. Grace is a person. the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he is Lord of your life, he works through you to accomplish what is impossible in your strength alone. How many of you, just by show of hands, God's asking you to do something this year that is so far beyond you, you already feel it coming, and you see it, and it's like the spirit of overwhelm is coming and telling you, this can be hard. Come on, raise your hands up. Look at this. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So God is telling you that right now, you're going to be able to do it because of his grace and his strength. Jesus working in and through you. I love what Bill Johnson says. He says, grace empowers you to obey what God commands. I love that. Grace is an empowerment. It's the Lord, and he is all powerful. So when he gives you an assignment, don't worry about how you're going to do it. Just say yes and trust him to help you do it, okay? Four things grace does for us, does for and through us. Number one, God's grace is his gift and it saves us. And I'm just going to breeze through these. If you guys want these notes, get them. According to Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. So we're not saved by ourselves. It's just a gift of God. He graces us to believe. I love what Mike Bickle always says. God gives us his love to love him. He puts his love in us so we can love him. We couldn't even love God without him putting his love in us to love him back. So everything we get is from God as a gift of grace. And so 1A, it's essential to see that God's grace has saved us. God's gift of salvation by grace comes through the finished work of the cross of Jesus, not our works. His sinless blood and sacrifice at the cross make it all possible. And we're still on grace. This is 5. So if he saves us, this is the greatest act of all. There's grace. There's grace for healing. There's grace for transformation. There's grace for everything else. Amen? And when you're feeling overwhelmed, go back to that and say, if you would do all that, lay down your life and go through the most excruciating pain to reconcile me and you, what more would you do for me? There is no end to his help or his sacrifice, okay? So then the second thing, God's grace justifies us, according to Romans 3:24, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. So we're made right by God, made righteous by God the Father, only because of his grace and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which is available to us because Jesus willingly laid down his life for us, paid the price we deserve for our rebellion against God, and we receive our justification not because of good works, but because of the payment Jesus paid for us on the cross when he suffered and died. So he paid the highest price. He's Jehovah Jireh. Listen, he can pay the bill. Hello? And many times we get into stress, like, how am I going to pay? There is a responsibility that we have to pay the bill, but you got to understand, he's Jireh. He's more than enough. And if he gives you something with a bigger price tag than you currently have funds for, all you need to turn around to him and not say, how am I going to do that? You say, Lord, thank you that you're going to have to do that because you got to fill in the gap. That's your bill, not just mine. Amen? So we are justified, which means that our sins have been removed just as if they never happened. That's the good news of the gospel. Amen. And the third thing grace does, it's more than salvation. It's also everything we need for life and godliness. I see people going, I don't know how I'm going to stop doing that. I don't know how I'm going to break away from that. I don't know. Listen, if it requires godliness, the grace of God is going to give you the power to break that thing off your life. Ooh, I love it. The definition of grace could be this: God's life, power, and righteousness given to us by unmerited favor. And Peter's the one that said it. He said, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Now that one will cut you. I love it. The Bible says that the word of God is living and it's active. and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, rightly dividing between bone and marrow, rightly dividing between the spirit and the soul. And you know where the devil wants to get us? Up in your head and tell you that you can't do something that God already gave you the power to do. And I had to adhere to this as well, because I could hear powerless language coming out of my mouth. I was looking at the addiction. I was looking at all these other patterns in my life that I had been stuck in stupid for so long that I'm like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I just kept finding myself. And my dad said, and one day I said, after I gave my heart to the Lord, I said, I'm never going to do that again. And my dad pointed his finger, a little bony finger at me, and he said, daughter, don't you ever say I'm not gonna. You better say, by the grace of God, I'm not gonna. Because the grace of God will give you the power to not do that thing again. But if you think you can do this on your own, he'll show you you can't. And you'll be right back in it. So the fourth thing that God's grace does is it empowers us to service. I love this one. God wants us to be so full of his grace in our lives that we can say with Paul, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Do you see the partnership? And Paul's saying, look, I didn't labor alone. But I didn't let the grace of God just be something in vain. So in other words, the grace of God will cause you to work. It will cause you to get up and do the thing that God wants you to do. Because you love him so much, you realize this is a gift. I didn't earn it. I didn't perform for it. He gave it to me. So works do not earn the grace of God, but God's grace will produce work done in his service. Grace, which is God's life, comes into us and works in and through us so that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Philippians 2:13 was on my refrigerator when I came out of crazy. And it hung there where I was tormented. You know, some of you know my testimony. But food had a stranglehold over my life. Drugs had a stranglehold over my life. There was all kinds of strangleholds over my life. And I had every opportunity to talk powerless. And I had to look at the Word of God, which I wanted. I put it right in front of me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. I have kept that verse in front of me my whole life. When an assignment comes to me and it's so big that it scares me, I say this verse. I can do all things through Christ who is at work in me, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And I hear the Lord saying, girl, get to work because it brings me pleasure. Stop your tripping. Stop telling me how afraid you are. Stop telling me what you can't do. I'm going to do this through you, and I'm going to do this with you, and this is going to bring me so much pleasure. You know, when you do step out, you start to feel the pleasure of the Lord. There are things that you're going to experience with God after your yes, not in your argument. Hello, everyone. I'm giving you a whole new take on grace. So this means that we should use the gifts and abilities God has given to us by his grace for his glory. God didn't give us his grace and blessings to only sit in church and feel good. Instead, they are so that we might not only be blessed, but also be a blessing. So I spent some time there because we're in the era of grace. And I feel like powerlessness is being broken off of a lot of people right now. The seven is, it represents completion and the complete working or seven expressions of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There's not seven different spirits. There's one spirit with seven expressions. And the Spirit, Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of Christ. This was a prophecy that Isaiah spoke in Isaiah 11:1, speaking of Jesus. It said, from the shoot of Jesse, there will come a branch. And he will operate in these seven manifestations of the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might and strength, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of obedience and reverence, the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. So this seven right now, I feel like there are many of you that are so hungry for the full manifestation of the Spirit. And I believe God is waiting for the full manifestation of the Spirit of God on his children right now. Amen? Many of you have come to know the Lord. You've been young in the Lord, but you're growing. And a child, you know, you can tell them, don't go over there. It's very difficult to lead a child because they're always running off, right? Parents, give me a yes. Come on, I need a holler back right now. Look at me like you know what I'm talking about. It's hard because, you know, children don't want to listen. But it's interesting. Paul said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and the daughters. It's like the child is still a son and daughter, but God's bringing the church into a maturity right now. And I believe this, all of this is going to manifest in your life. Not only is God going to complete some things, but I believe the full manifestation of the Spirit is going to operate through you in a greater in a greater way. That's exciting. Now, as I start to wrap this up, the eight in this year of 5784 represents new man, new beginnings. So there's going to be some new beginnings. There's going to be some things where you're just going to look at yourself and say, wow, I feel like a different person. God is, he has done a transformation in my life. And there will be people that say to you, you're not even who I remember. You're not the same. And you should say thank you. There will be people that say that to you in a derogatory sense because they want to pull you back to who you were when you put up with their garbage, when you didn't have the strength to stand up to them, when you were trying to fit in, when you were insecure instead of stand out and be the person that God's called you to be. There's going to be some things that happen in this next year where you're going to look at yourself and say, wow, I don't think like that anymore. I don't do that anymore. I don't even desire that anymore. There are big shifts coming to you. But the eight also represents 80. And the 80 is the Hebrew word peh, which means mouth or prayer. Now, I would encourage all of you to go and read Prophetess Jane Hammond's word that came out on Elijah List because, I mean, if there was ever a confirmation of everything I had written, she really nailed it. And that came out, I think, yesterday. But she said, this is the decade of voice-activated doors. You've got to open your mouth, okay? Because it also means prayer, but it's mouth. It is the product of 2 to the 4th power. So in this decade, God is doubling down again and again as you open your mouth in prayer and decree and declare his word. How many of you are seeing 2s all the time? 2, 2, come and raise your hands up. 2, 2, 2, 12, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. Pay attention. God is saying that's a confirmation for him where he's doubling down. He said, I'm going to give you double for your trouble. Ask me for more because whatever it is you are asking me for, I want to give you twice as much. I'm going to double it and I'm going to double and I'm going to double it down again. But we live in a voice-activated kingdom. The Bible says there's life and death in the power of your tongue. The Spirit of God is going to make you more aware of what you're saying than ever before. And it's not a time to beat yourself up like, oh, I said it again. What you need to do is ask the Holy Spirit to take charge of your tongue. This is a little member, but it needs to be surrendered to the Lord. Amen? Because no man can tame it, but God can. What you talk about comes about. I'm going to show you. What you say is what will be. Yes? Jesus, in our studies just yesterday, cursed the fig tree. And they said, Lord, look what happened to it. And he said, and he changed, he didn't even talk about the tree. He goes to a whole nother thing and he switches over and he goes, whoever says to this mountain, they were talking about a tree. It just withered. And they're all tripping out because he spoke to the tree. He cursed it and saw the effect of it on what he created. We've been talking, Rod and I, about this. You know, your words are either bringing life or they are killing They're killing the thing that's alive. There are plants, and you know that they've done research on this. You speak nice to a plant, and you put it in an atmosphere where there's praise and there's worship, and the plant will thrive, right? You got to still water it. But, I mean, there are things you still need to do, right? I'm not just saying you could walk by and go, I just water you today. Be blessed in Jesus' name. It does need some other things. But words are powerful, and there is life and death in the word, and you're either cursing or you're bringing life. And we did a sermon on this about words, and a scientist, Emoto, froze water molecules while words were being spoken. And words that were angry and hurtful and mean, they blew the water molecule open, and there were deep, big holes and fragmented, and it was all shattered. But when words like thank you and I love you and these wonderful things were spoken, those water molecules all came together in completeness, and then they started to grow into beautiful prisms, patterns. Think about that. We're 80% water. You're either killing yourself at the cellular level and breaking yourself and shattering yourself all to pieces and everyone else around you. I say, speak nice, especially when I'm around you, because not, you're killing me at the cellular level. And I will have to put you out, correct? I will have to put you out. It's the truth. We need to be more mindful of what's coming out of our mouth. I believe this is going to be the season where we become more self-aware of what we're saying about ourselves, what we're saying about our work, what we're saying about the church, what we're saying about our businesses, what we're saying, period. Jesus said, say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And he said, I tell you, whatever you say, whatever you ask for in prayer believing, it will be done for you. So I just wanted to stop on that. The four, as we get down to the end of this, is it means open doors and worldwide wide influence. And here's a partial list of biblical examples of the number four. The Hebrew name of God, Jehovah, is written in four letters. There are four corners of the earth. There are four seasons. There are corners, horns, and pillars of his altar. There's four of them. We're reading about the tabernacle right now. There are four sides of the tabernacle. There are four thread colors in the priestly garments. There are four gospels of Jesus. There are four points of the cross. There are creatures. There's four living creatures in the book of Revelations. There are four horsemen, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. There are four notable horns on the beast. Four corners of the earth. God's division of humanity in Revelations 5, 10, and 13 are people, nation, tribe, and tongue. Four. There are four angels holding four winds. There are four sides of the New Jerusalem. The number four is very important to God. I just want you to know that there's a lot of activity right now in the spirit. Biblically speaking, another word for completion, other than seven, is perfection. Since God is a perfect God without fault or sin, how perfectly fitting that his name is a four-letter name. The symbol of perfection, or a complete God. Much research on the number four points to God having completed his creation of the earth, sky, and celestial bodies on the fourth day. That's in Genesis. The physical world was complete on that fourth day. I do believe that the Lord, even though we said in 2023 was the, I called it 2023. We're not out of it yet. That was the year of freedom. It was the year of flourishing. It was the year of fulfillment. Get excited, because I know that in this last 3-month window, God is, he's not only finishing some things in 2023, but as he brings you into 2024, I believe things that have been like left undone, loose ends, things that you couldn't get done on your own, he's going to be going to work on your behalf to get it all wrapped up. My word coming out tomorrow on Facebook is that He is going to pull it off perfectly. We're in a window right now. I feel his presence so strong. Thank you, Lord. We're in a 3-month window. Watch. Open your eyes. Discern. Don't look at everything that's coming and let the overwhelm overwhelm you. You are the head and not the tail. You are over and not below, underneath. You have been given the grace, the Spirit of God, the power of God, and the promise of God to overcome, to overwhelm the overwhelm, to overcome the one who's trying to get you to be overcome. And I'm prophesying right now to you, and just from the Spirit of God right now, fresh, hot off the press. God said you better rise up in the power that he delivered to you once and for all. You need to grab a hold of it with every fiber of your being, and there's going to be a battle that ensues. Betsy sent me a word yesterday that said, blessed are those who turn back the battle at the gate. You know what that means? That means you're going to have to stand at the door of your house. Come on, church, go ahead and stand up. You're going to have to stand at the door of your house. I'm talking about your personal house, but I'm also talking about your home. There is a battle waging right now for your children. There is a battle waging for your assignment. God is about to bring you out, and he's about to take you into some things. But he's telling you, you need to stand up in the power and the authority and the dominion that I gave to you and turn that thing back. Turn it back. Come on. Stand at the door of your house and turn it back. Turn it back. He said there is a blessing for those who will stand at the door and turn back the battle. He has given you the power. It's time to stake your claim and say, you know what? This house, it don't belong to you. This home, this place that God has called me to, this don't belong to you. If God closes the door and he brings you into another one, say goodbye. Don't grieve what he's pulling you away from. Amen? Come on, I want you to say this. God, I thank you. I have grace for everything I face. I thank you for your Holy Spirit and the full manifestation of who you are. I thank you for new beginnings. I thank you for a mouth to speak and declare your word over my life and my family. And I thank you for the open doors and the closed doors that you are giving to me this year. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. 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 Listen, we're going to pray a salvation prayer because I don't know who needs it. You may not need it. I always say, I'd rather you have it and not need it than need it and not have it. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the gate. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's the one door in your life you need to acknowledge and get through, amen? And he says, receive me. I came to seek and save the lost. And today, if you don't know him, you're lost. Just that's the way it is. He says, I want to make you right. I want to give you righteousness and bring you into the kingdom, give you eternal life, bless your life. And everything that's been spoken over your life is yours. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come through you, the door of salvation. Be my Lord and my Savior. I know I will never be the same. In your precious name, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. All of heaven's throwing a party for you.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at Soul Harvest WC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.